On Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA, it's WRTA Weekend. And once again this month, we talk with Liesl Kaffhammer from ARC Federal Credit Union. This is Money Matters. Liesl, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Doug.
And this may sound counterintuitive to some of the things we've talked about, because one of the things you want to talk about is living with a budget, but not being a slave to the budget.
Exactly. You want to be able to enjoy that frugal lifestyle, that being smart with your money, but still being able to be happy and not feel like you're being constricted with it.
That sounds counterintuitive, because one of the things that we've stressed on the program is have the budget, know what you have to spend versus what you have. Mm-hmm. And of course, there was my theory going into this thing. You make this much, spend much less than that.
Yeah.
Which is not very specific at all, so probably not very helpful to some people, as this program has been. But when you say that you can live with a budget, you're living within the budget.
Correct. And that's kind of been the buildup over the series of conversations, is start by building the budget. That's very much the foundation of all of this, is when you start there and you have that baseline to work from, you know, oh, this is how much money that I have and this is how much I bring in and these are my bills and this is what I have to pay out. If you know that, if you can establish that, it really makes working within those boundaries much easier, and you can have that I don't want to just say you can be happy. And I know there's so much more to happiness than just being able to pay your bills, but it takes those added stresses off of, you know, am I going to be able to pay for this and that? And if something else comes up, it's one thing to be able to cover your needs, but are you able to get those couple extra enjoyable things that you want on top of that?
Well, I think the key word that you mentioned is stress, because if this removes some of the stress from the budgeting or from just living life, I suppose that's a great advantage, as opposed to, oh, it's every month, woe is me, what am I going to do? Do I have enough? Do I not have enough? Well, if you have a set idea of what you have and what you have to spend, that mm-hmm. is a lot less stress.
It is, and that is the main, kind of the most important part of being able to establish that budget, is making sure you get yourself on a solid ground with knowing what your money's can do or cannot do for you. You know, can it cover these expenses? What if it can't? You know, there's only so much you can do as far as taking on extra jobs and things like that. There are government assistance programs available if you're really in a position where maybe physically you cannot do enough work to cover your bills. Mm-hmm. But if you're not in that position, then, you know, is there something else you can do to bring in more money? And when you do that, or when you reach the point where, hey, I should be making enough money to cover all my bills, but why do I still feel like I can't afford the things that I want to do? What is wrong?
Yeah.
That's where you need to reassess.
Well, just as an aside here, we live in an instant gratification society. Ever since MTV, where we have the attention span of a gnat, we think, oh, well, I can just save up for this in a month or in 2 weeks. And that's not realistic. You're putting pressure on yourself that's not fair to you if you're doing that, right?
That's true. Don't hate on MTV, Doug.
Video killed the radio star, so.
I was just going to say that. But I do know that a big piece of living within that budget and finding that happiness in a frugal lifestyle is controlling those emotional purchases, because that is a lot of the stuff that gets us in trouble. And again, not to keep going back to the budget, but it really is the foundation of all that. If you know that, hey, this is what I'm setting aside for my entertainment expenses, for my wants for the month, if it goes outside of that,
yeah,
then, hey, I really need to reassess, like, why do I want to spend money on this if this is going to be more than what I have set aside for this, because that's going to cause problems later.
One of the points here that you have on the guide for this, the first step to financial wellness is knowing where your money is going and how much you actually have to spend. Which, you know, from my joke earlier about I know how much I make, spend less. Well, you have a general idea of what you make, but looking at it after taxes, after everything else,
right?
and then seeing what you have to spend, that's where you're going to find out what you can do with the rest of this, as we mentioned in the program.
Right. Yep. And that first step can be intimidating to people. I understand that. And I mean, we do have staff at ARC that, that can help. They are certified financial counselors, and you can call us, make appointments for our members. There's no charge to come in and set that up. We do require that you have a membership, because we would need to see your personal financial information, and we would only do that for members. But opening an account is incredibly easy, so please feel free to visit our website and just there's links in there, and it'll walk you through that.
Okay. You mentioned this earlier, but the thing about leaving room in your budget for just fund purchases.
Mm-hmm.
Is it true that you get some – I've heard people say this, and I don't know that I get this when I go to the grocery store, but if I find something really inexpensive in a secondhand shop or an antique store, not that I spend tons of money – well, I probably spend more than I should have over my lifetime, but that's another matter. You get endorphins released by spending money. Again, on something as mundane as going to the supermarket. We do it every week. We buy food. You kind of have to buy food. Or writing a check for the garbage collection, or stuff like that is not going to release it. But when you find something that, oh, this is a really good buy.
Right. People do get that rush from, they call it retail therapy, or just shopping and going and getting your coffee, or getting your nails done, or whatever it is, the thing that...
Getting the car washed.
Yeah.
Detailing the car.
Yep, buying your whatever little accessories that... make it nicer or more enjoyable for you. There are definitely that endorphin rush, and it's short term. That's the downside, is those things are short term, which is why people get addicted to shopping and things like that. That it's not a sustainable hobby, I guess you could say.
Well, I've heard people addicted to Home Shopping Network or eBay or Etsy or something like that. They always got to be buying something. It's like, after a while, that you add up what you've spent. It's like...
Right, that short-term rush of, look at this new thing I just got, wears off, and then you're left with the additional stress of, but you didn't have the money in your budget for it, so now it's not that far down the road, and you're looking and going, oh, I needed that money for this or that.
How do you balance... what's just for fun and what's a shopping addiction, though?
Well, that's where that budget comes into play, where you have that amount set aside for this is the money I'm spending on my hobbies or my wants and my entertainment. You break that down and say, pull out a number. Let's say I have $200 to spend on my entertainment needs or impulse purchases this month. Once I hit $200, that's it.
Or even limit yourself to 50.
Right. I mean, and that is is it going to cover all of my entertainment expenses and wants, like entertainment, clothing, the things that are just going to be like those impulse buys for the whole month? Is that everything? Or am I going to be a little bit more granular and say, hey, this is my $50 for when I'm doing my random Facebook scrolling and an ad pops up and that's, oh, no, I already spent my stuff for the month.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was my
$50
for the month. Yeah. I still have my other... $50 when I'm out shopping in person, and this is my in-person, shopping.
It's not a fun purchase necessarily, but if I see something that I know I'm going to use, not, oh, it would be kind of nice to have this, but whether it's something I can buy in bulk that I normally would not buy that much of, no matter what it happens to be, whether they've got a sale at the supermarket, sale at the department store, or something like that, it's like, almost the fudge it, judge it, and then say, okay, because you're getting value out of it. It's not going to expire. It's not food that's going to go bad in 3 months. You could have some canned item or boxed item or something else that you need for around the home for maybe a year's worth, but you actually saved money in the long run, as long as you're not doing false economy.
Right, and that is something that you want to look and figure out. Hey, let's say you can get a couple months worth of an item and say, well, it's kind of like the reverse of, oh my gosh, I've spent too much on something that was an impulse buy that I didn't necessarily need.
And now what
well,
am I going to do
this
with
is
it?
Something I hadn't planned to spend this money right now, but I would be spending it over the next couple months on something I would need anyway, and I was planning on spending X dollars next month and the next month on this. So if I spend now, I can save a little bit, and then I won't have to buy it the next month and the next month. So it would kind of balance out for you, right? If it is a...
It's like all the people that have a 10-year supply of TP because they bought it during pandemic. You didn't necessarily save any money, but you know what? You're not going to have to buy it in the future, I suppose. We're talking with Liesl Kapphammer. ARC Federal Credit Union Money Matters is sponsored by ARC Federal Credit Union on Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA. We're talking about, yes, you have to have a budget, but you don't have to straitjacket yourself. I mean, let's put it this way. If you really, really are, say, between full-time jobs and every penny counts, it does anyway, but sometimes we sort of ignore that. It's more important that you take care of yourself and your immediate needs. But if you're budgeting in a regular circumstance, something you talked about before was leaving room for just for fun purchases. And and you said, yeah, that thing I've heard about, the endorphins when you spend on something you like as opposed to just buying a box of cereal or something, is there. Is that almost a psychological thing, you think, where maybe if you allow yourself to do that on occasion, not to the point of detriment to your finances, but on occasion, that it sort of, you say it's short term, but maybe it just, it gives you that little extra edge to feel a little happier about how you're doing.
It is, and it's something that, as long as it's not something you rely on as, this is the only way I know to feel happy, right? This is, you need those purchases of things you enjoy in your life, right? I'm not saying don't allow yourself any of that. That's why we set aside money for our wants in our budget. That we did touch on in a previous conversation about that 50-30-20 rule, where you put aside 50% for wants, 50% for needs, 30% for wants, 20% for savings. Now that's a gray set of numbers. You can adjust that as needed, but it does understand that there has to be a chunk of your income that is set aside for the things you want in life, not just the things you need in life. Because without that, we're not going to be happy, productive members of society if we don't have some kind of rewarding, like our hobbies, our the things that just make us want to wake up and get through to the end of the day. You know, it's not just a trudging, miserable existence because I'm paying my bills and I'm going to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, there has to be something positive to look forward to. You're buying tickets to a football game or going on a vacation, or there has to be something positive and enjoyable.
The vacation does not have to be Hawaii. I've never been. I'll never afford it. And I'm fine with that. Right. If I could drive to the Grand Canyon, I'd love that, but I don't have the time or money. So I guess, well, I'll just put that on the back burner or have it as a bucket list. But but when you were talking about this, I started to think there are certain things that each of us would value more than others, as you kind of alluded to there. Some of us have a problem with too many books. If you go to a used bookstore, do I need another book? No. Would I like to read this one? Fine. If you're not, you know, putting yourself in the poorhouse by doing that, especially if you go to a yard sale or a used bookstore, that's fantastic.
Absolutely. And keeping it within reason. And if you can find a community of people that are book enthusiasts and maybe you guys exchange books, or there's always ways to meet that, hey, this is what I really enjoy doing without exceeding your budget or filling a room in your house wall to wall with books that you didn't have room to store them.
Yeah.
There's always ways to kind of work with that. Because like a diet, a budget is something that if it is too restrictive, you will not stick to it.
You know, you'll be miserable if you do, which will make you eventually just backslide, I guess. Well, the other thing is you're setting the priorities. Okay, maybe a book is a little more important than buying X or whatever X is, but it's not a necessity. You should be dealing with the necessities first, as you emphasize first. But say it's like concert tickets. I may have spent too much this year on that because I spent more than I usually do. But on the Fudge It Judge It thing, I'll give you an example. Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Saw them a couple of times over the years. Love them. They're doing their final tour. Well, of course, many artists say it's their final tour. But after something like 52 years, I would imagine this could be their final tour. Well, they're coming to Shippensburg. And I thought, now normally, I've seen concerts there. I know it's a good location. Normally I'm thinking, well, you know, I already went to this and this and this, but it's their final tour. And I looked at the price and it's like, oh, this is nowhere near what I thought it would cost.
Okay.
So then maybe you shift and do that as opposed to something else, or you stretch and take that out of, well, you were going to save a little, but because this is a one-time opportunity.
Right. Yep. And as long as that stays reasonable and it's not something where, oh, well, this I want to go to this concert, I'm going to take a little bit out of, because I didn't have it set aside for my regular wants or entertainment for the month, going to push it into, oh, I was saving for my car repairs, take it out of there.
That can if get it's dangerous. Not,
right. Don't make a habit of that. Like, don't you make sure you replace it, you know, ASAP when you're when you have to do those types of things. That is the kind of thing that, again, like you said, fudge it, judge it. It's something where you don't want to get into a habit of robbing Peter to pay Paul, as they say. You know, keep things in their allotted categories. Emergency savings are for if there is an emergency, that's what you want to set them aside for. But something came up and something you look forward to, you know, it's a if it's their final tour and they've
You're not going to have this opportunity next year.
It's not coming around again.
Yeah. One of the things on your notes here, it says, before giving yourself permission to indulge, make sure you set aside a percentage of your monthly income to savings. Savings should be an item on your budget, with short-term savings like emergency and a savings account enough to keep you afloat 3 to 6 months if you have no source of income. And I know that's going to be a difficult one for a lot of people right there.
Oh, absolutely.
I can hear them now because I've been there. It's like, look, I have just enough to take care of my expenses now. I can't put aside any.
Right.
But even if you put it, I think we've talked about in the past, even if it's $5 a month, $5 a week, eventually it'll add up, and please don't touch it for concert tickets if you're in that situation.
And that's the caveat is when you see that that is starting to add up, you're like, oh, man, I'm finally starting to get a little bit of a cushion. What? And you want to do those fun things because the human brain is not wired to kind of go into that worst case scenario. We don't want to live there, right? It's not a not a sustainable environment to always assume the worst. So we want to say, oh, well, man, you have that fear of missing out. You have that I want to live my life to the fullest while I can.
I don't know. It seems to me, and maybe you tell me if you've had the same experience. I have gotten a little bit ahead, and I look at the checking account or the savings account, and I think, boy, I've actually done well. This is good. No, I'm not going to spend it on something. And suddenly, oh, something on the car goes. You have an unexpected bill from the dentist where you're going to have a tooth worked on. The doctor says, yeah, we want to send you for this test. It's just a routine thing, but, you know, now you're going to have to do the copay. It's like eventually, you know, you're going to need new tires for the car. There's always something comes along.
Never fails.
Eat the savings that you thought you had.
But the flip side of that coin is you did have that savings then, not, oh, my gosh, I have to put this on a credit card. And now I'm making extra monthly payments and paying interests to a bank or to it. So, yes, it's frustrating because sometimes you feel like, oh, I was just starting to get ahead and now, you know, I'm back to my savings account's depleted and or I barely have anything in it compared to what I did.
But, I know some people are going to say this doesn't give them any comfort, but I'm saying the same thing you just said. At least you had it when you needed it.
Right. And that is sometimes you feel like, well, what's the point if it just gets spent on things? Well, that's kind of the point is you're spending it on the things that pop up that you would have otherwise had to take out an emergency loan for, or I hate to say like payday lenders, but when people don't have great credit because they don't have these budgets in place and they're struggling, they end up going to like payday lenders and the interest rates on those loans are just, they're atrocious. I mean, it's predatory. It really
is. I've never done it, but I know somebody that got really behind on those things and they were losing a good chunk of change to it after a couple of months because they kept repeating the cycle.
Right.
And yeah. We sort of talked about the idea of choosing your treats, but another one that you have here on the points, on the notes, lose the guilt. Once you've decided how much you want to spend each month on indulgences you can afford, it's time to let go of the guilt. Mm-hmm. That seems like it would be really easy. Yep, can let go of that guilt. That's on sale. I'm buying that CD. I want that thing. Or look what's on Amazon right now. But I think if you're taking it seriously, even if you can afford that $15 CD that you weren't going to buy until you saw it on sale, there's a little thing nagging at you in the back of the neck saying, should I really?
To an extent, yes, because at this point, hopefully you're more aware of where your money is going and what you are spending your money on. And you're just kind of making sure, like, is this something I have room to put into my budget? And if you are at that point where you're like, you know what, I do. And this is what that discretionary spending category that I have set aside is for. So, you know, maybe you're telling yourself, you know what, but if I don't spend it, I could always just slide it over into my savings this month and build up my savings. And maybe you're thinking that way. Maybe you're trying to throw everything you can into that savings account instead of spending on extras. But again, if you are too restrictive and don't allow yourself to purchase those for fun items, it's not sustainable. You're going to end up miserable, and then you're just going to break out of that healthy budget that you've hopefully built for yourself.
Well, I've known people who were very hard on themselves about what they were spending, and that's because they didn't have a lot. Mm-hmm. But they became overly restricted, and then suddenly they make this huge, ridiculous purchase they didn't need, but they wanted. Mm-hmm. And maybe they don't have buyer's remorse at the time. Not that the item wasn't what they thought it would be, but it's just, oh, did I really spend $250 on that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not the same as letting go of the guilt. That's, you don't make that mistake to begin with, but you probably won't if you're not being overly strict on yourself within your budget, like you said.
Right. And I think that is, it's building these habits is really the important thing to remember, is that you're building healthy financial habits as you continue to reinforce to yourself, well, here is my budget. I cannot spend more than this allotted amount on my fun things, because I have to make sure that I'm spending on my housing and my groceries and my utilities. Yeah. I have that covered. Then this is my fun budget and this is my savings. As long as you have those habits built and you're getting into that groove, it doesn't become as much of a, I'm going to say a burden, like mentally, because I know before I had kind of established these healthy habits, it was a, oh my gosh, did I set that aside? Did I pay that? Did I schedule that? Did I do that? It's kind of always nagging at you. But once you get into that routine, it becomes much more, I don't want to say touch-free, because you do have to check on it and things, but there's much less just kind of weighing on you as, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to have enough for this, because you set that aside already in the beginning to say, look, I know I cannot even touch these funds because they are for XYZ. So this bit that I have left over, that's all I have to work from. And that's, for me, it's easier to have separate like accounts. I had mentioned in another
the envelopes conversation. Or
whatever. Yeah, some people use physical envelopes. I like accounts, and I do transfers on payday. X dollars goes into a separate account where my mortgage payment automatically deducts. You have your utility bills, you pay them out. That's where all that is separate. And if there is some kind of account compromise or something, I feel that the utilities and things like that are a little more reputable. I'm not using like my debit card or anything like that connected to those. I feel like the chance of that kind of a compromise on that account would be lower.
Based on your experience of helping people manage money, I've heard different answers to this about habits. But how long do you have to do something before it becomes a habit?
Oh, man, I have heard a variety of numbers or repetitions, things like that on that. And I want to say I had heard something around like 20 something times, or I've even heard higher numbers. I know I have. But for me, it was more of a series of over several months of making sure that I revisited that series of steps to, hey, the transfer went through. Okay, this bill paid. Okay. And, oh, well, oops, this one wasn't included in that. Okay. Yep. Now it's in there. Just catching little things each time until it became, like I said, I think a few months of, okay, now, oh, because my insurance is quarterly, so I didn't have to have that one in there the last couple months. Now the insurance is included. And until everything just kind of gets into its groove. And we're all individuals as well. So maybe some people build those habits a lot easier and other people, I don't want to say they're slow learners, but it's just a little bit more of a repetition process.
Yeah. And just real quick, ARC was helping out the folks at the Central Pennsylvania Humane Society recently?
Yes. We had them visit with one of their adoptable dogs. Actually, she is in a foster to adopt scenario, so that's exciting for Wheezy. But we are helping them every so often. They'll be at our branches with a new animal to visit and meet some hopefully future forever homes.
Yeah. So. And those branches, where is ARC Federal Credit Union?
We are 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona, which is right off 17th Street. And we are 419 North 7th Street in Juniata, which is down by the shops.
And the website is?
arcfcu.org.
And your phone number?
814-946-0857. You can text or call that.
And we'll have that information on a podcast that will be up on WRTA.com, and also it will eventually appear on the ARC Federal Credit Union site as well. Mm-hmm. Lisa Kapphammer, thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug.